Good afternoon, everybody. We know that we are now beginning the weeks of the Shiva D'Nechemta. We are beginning the weeks of when we lay in the Haftorahs of Nechama, because we're just coming off of the heels of a Tisha B'Av. That was Yimei Evel and Yimei Churban on the Beis Hamikdash. So Eliyahu HaNavi writes in the Tana Devei Eliyahu, Ein Yisrael Negalin Lo Mitoch Hatzar. He says the Jewish people will not have a Geula given to them that will come through pain, through torment. V'lo mitoch hashibud, the geula will not come through enslavement or servitude. V'lo mitoch hatiltul, the geula will not come from our own communal exhaustion or from weakness. V'lo mitoch hatiruf, not because of confusion or turmoil, disorientation. V'lo mitoch hadochak, not because of poverty. V'lo mitoch she'en la hamazonos, ela. When will the geula come? Mitoch hasara b'nei adam she'em yoshvim zeh etz al zeh, when you have 10 people sitting together. And together they collectively study the words of Torah. V'kolam nishma, he says, the Ribbono Shel Olam listens to those voices of the 10 people learning Torah together. Shenemar, because the pasuk says, Uvahar tzion tia pleito. So what greater way to bring about the beginning of the Shiva D'Nechemta, to bring about our geula, to bring about our consolation, than to learn 10 people sitting together and share Divrei Torah, which the Ribbono Shel Olam listens to and responds to as well. So in the spirit of Geula, and hopefully what we assume will be our participation in a Geula, let's talk a little bit about Eliyahu HaNavi. Now, Eliyahu HaNavi is a problematic personality. And the reason why is because there are many conflicting sources about what's the story with Eliyahu HaNavi, and when is he able to come and when is he not. And we have to really sort this out carefully. So we start with the Gemara in Pesachim Daf Yud Gimel. Same Gemara can be found in Maseches Erev in Daf Mem Gimel, where the Gemara tells us, Kvar muftach lahem liYisrael, the Jewish people have been promised, She'ein Eliyahu HaNavi ba, Eliyahu HaNavi will not appear, will not be mevaser the Geula, lo be'erev Shabbos, v'lo be'erev Yomtiv. He will not come on Erev Shabbos, he also will not come on Erev Yomtiv. Why not, says the Gemara, why shouldn't he come on Erev Shabbos or Erev Yomtiv? Mipnei HaTorach. What does that mean? Because we're all busy, says Rashi what it means. Because Nebuch, we're all making the food for Shabbos, we're all putting up the challah, and what are we going to do? Eliyahu Navi's going to show up on Erev Shabbos, what am I going to do with the Shabbos food? How's it going to get made? And because everyone's so busy with that, therefore Eliyahu Navi promises us, don't worry, I'm not going to bother you, I'm not going to get in the way of your Shabbos food, I wouldn't want to take the challah away from you, so therefore I'm not going to come on Erev Shabbos, I'm not going to come on Erev Yom Tov. Now Rabbi Chana Wasserman asks a very obvious question. He says the Ramah tells us in two places in Hilchos Shabbos. Number one, he says, the Ramah writes that one is not allowed to fast on a Shabbos. Why not? Because there's a mitzvah of Oneg Shabbos. That's generally not a way that people feel an enhanced sense of Oneg. However, he says, what if you have some very strange individual who just loves fasting? Now, I've never met such a person, but if you have such a person, in theory, says the Ramah, if you feel that it's more of an Oneg for you to fast than to eat, then Oneg Shabbos for you means you should fast, and you have every right to fast on a Shabbos. Similarly, he says, if you have someone who, let's say, every once in a while we have somebody who loses a relative on a Shabbos, and there's nothing they can do on Shabbos to make the funeral arrangements. It's Shabbos. But they want to cry, but you're not allowed to cry on Shabbos. So the Ramah says if it's going to help you to let out a good cry, it will help you settle your own emotions. You're going through a depressing time, something's wrong, you let out a good cry, you talk about a tzara with your family, that's going to help you to have an enhanced Oneg Shabbos afterwards, says the Ramah. That's permissible, because Oneg Shabbos is very subjective. It depends on the person, depends on the scenario, and therefore, says the Ramah, in these two cases, we would allow a person both to cry on Shabbos and to fast on Shabbos. Says Rabbi Chanan, if that's the case, that Oneg Shabbos is very subjective, if any of us would be asked, would you take a trade-off? Eliyahu Navi is either going to come on Erev Shabbos, and therefore, as a result of that, you're not going to be able to eat any Meridika Chalant on Shabbos that you would have wanted to have, or we'll make Eliyahu Navi wait till Sunday, because after all, I'm hungry. What would give you more Oneg Shabbos, says Rabbi Chanan. Obviously, we know Oneg Shabbos is very subjective, the same way the Ramah says it's subjective with regard to crying on Shabbos and fasting on Shabbos, so too it should be subjective when it comes to the decision whether or not Eliyahu Navi can come. So what's that all about? Eliyahu Navi promises us, I'm not going to ruin your Shabbos, don't worry, you're going to have Oneg Shabbos, I'm going to make sure not to come on Friday, not to get in the way of anything. What's the problem? Why can't he come on Friday? Who would have an issue with that? That would be the greatest Oneg Shabbos for all of us. Under the circumstances, so we don't eat, so we don't eat. It's okay. So as for Rabbi Chanan, he doesn't really understand. A very similar kind of issue to that is, I once saw the Brisker Rav was asked the following. We know that we have Animamin ben Muna Shlema. All those are written by the Rambam, or they are taken off the writings of the Rambam. So one of those is, You have to believe that Ani Mamin Achakelo B'Chayim Sheyavo. I believe Eliyahu Navi is going to come every single day. I wake up in the morning. Chafetz Chaim tells us you have to really believe it, not just believe in theory. You have to really believe that the Ribbono Shel Olam is going to send the Geula. He's going to send Eliyahu Navi B'Chol Yom Sheyavo every single day. Ask the Brisker Rav, what do you mean? How can you say Achakelo B'Chayim Sheyavo? Doesn't the Gemara tell us that Eliyahu Navi cannot reveal himself on Erev Shabbos? So what are you supposed to do? How do you say such a statement, Achakelo B'Chayim Sheyavo, if in fact there are days in the calendar when he cannot show up? So the Brisker Rav answered, don't worry, when Mashiach is going to come, we're going to ask him all the kashas. But for now, just don't worry about it. For now, we'll just believe that he's going to come and we'll work it out later with him. So I believe that's the same thing over here. Rabbi Chanan has a good kasha. What about the Onik Shabbos? I don't know. When Eliyahu Navi is going to show up, we'll figure it out with him. Teiku, exactly. We'll figure it out with him. We'll sort that out. Now the Shulchan Aruch writes in Aruch Chaim Hilchos Shabbos as well that we have a practice on Matzai Shabbos every week to talk about Eliyahu Hanavi b'Matzai Shabbos u'le'ispalo she'yavo v'yivasrenu ha'geula. I'm not such a good Jew. I don't say all the pizmonim on Matzai Shabbos that we're supposed to say. I'm lucky enough if I eat Malav Amalka before I forget about it and fall asleep. But for those wonderful Jews who make sure to eat Malav Amalka as they're supposed to and wash for Malav Amalka, and not only do that, Mahadrim and Amahadrim, they say this Miras also, you'll notice that we have a lot of discussion about Eliyahu HaNavi. Why do we talk about Eliyahu on Matzai Shabbos? What's so auspicious about Matzai Shabbos that we choose for that to be the time? Says the Torah, the reason why is because the Gemara promised us Eliyahu Navi cannot come on an Erev Shabbos. And the Gemara says further, Eliyahu Navi also cannot come on Shabbos itself, as we'll see in a minute. Therefore, the first opportunity that we have to greet the Eliyahu Navi and Mashiach is Matzai Shabbos. So the first thing we begin our week with every week is Eliyahu Navi, Eliyahu Tishbi. We want to remind ourselves, yes, we were on hiatus for 2 days. Geula wasn't going to be on Friday, wasn't going to be on Shabbos, and we know that. However, Matzai Shabbos, the first opportunity we have, the first thing we're going to do is talk about Eliyahu HaNavi, talk about Eliyahu HaTishbi, because there is nothing that is more exciting to us after a Shabbos or Yom Tov than the Geula and the possibility of being a part of the Geula that could not have happened on Erev Shabbos or on Shabbos itself. So we mentioned the Gemara says in Maseches Erevin, not only can Eliyahu HaNavi not come on Erev Shabbos, but Eliyahu HaNavi also is not able to come on Shabbos itself. What's the problem with Shabbos? How come he can't come on Shabbos? All the food is already cooked. It's not going to be Mevatel or Onik Shabbos. Adarama, it will make our Onik Shabbos so much more enhanced. So why can't Eliyahu HaNavi come on Shabbos itself? Says the Gemara, the reason why is because... Sorry, the Gemara doesn't say why. It just says he cannot come on Shabbos. Tosus writes two reasons. Either number one, because everybody is busy with Suda Shabbos. Not just that on Erev Shabbos he couldn't come, so we were busy making the Shabbos food, but Shabbos afternoon, what, he's going to come, and then I'm not going to be able to have all of my company that was supposed to come over to eat by my house for the Shabbos meal? Not a good idea. Says Tosas, that's what the Gemara means. Eliyahu Navi doesn't want to get in anyone's way. So therefore, he can't come Erev Shabbos, he can't come Shabbos. That's reason number one. Reason number two, he says, more simply, is because, how could Eliyahu Navi come Michutz L'Tchum? Eliyahu Navi has a long flight. He has to get here all the way from Shamayim, wherever he's been hiding all these years. So Eliyahu Navi, for him to make it down here, it's going to be a long trip, and therefore he's going to have to go outside of the Tchum. And because of that, we assume Eliyahu HaNavi cannot appear on a Shabbos because he will not violate the laws of Tchum Shabbos. Now, the problem is the Chassam Sofer asked very simply. We had a Bris Milah in the shul this morning, and we know by every Bris Milah we welcome Eliyahu HaNavi. What do we say? Ze'akiseh shel Eliyahu HaNavi zachar latov. We, in some way, invite Eliyahu HaNavi to participate in a Bris Milah. As we know, Pinchas Eliyahu, whatever the reason is, but Eliyahu HaNavi is expected to be at every Bris Milah. Ask the Chassam Sofer, if you're going to say, Amod al yamini v'samcheini, Eliyahu HaNavi, come to the Bris, because we want you to help us out. What if you have a Bris on Shabbos? So when you have a Bris on Shabbos, we don't welcome Eliyahu HaNavi? We don't assume that he's going to be there? Comes before Shabbos. What if there's a Bris here and there's a Bris somewhere else? Conceivable, right? Ask the Chassam Sofer, it's very nice that he can come before Shabbos, but what if you're talking about a case where there's a Bris here and a Bris in China? He can't be in both places, so what are you going to do? How do we understand that Eliyahu HaNavi is able to come to a Bris Milah and we welcome him even when the Bris Milah is on a Shabbos, whereas Eliyahu HaNavi tells us, I cannot be Mevasa the Geula on a Shabbos because of Tchum? Why is Tchum only an issue for the Geula and Tchum is not an issue for a Bris Milah? This is the question that the Chassam Sofer asks, and he poses the following suggestion. He says, maybe the answer goes as follows. There are two kinds of Eliyahu HaNavi that we are aware of. One is Eliyahu HaNavi as a Navi, as a Malach, as somebody who's supernatural, something that we cannot have any physical relationship with. And then we have Eliyahu who's not going to show up in the form of a Malach, but rather in the form of a human being. says the Chassam Sofer. It sounds like a Chassidus Shavart, but the Chassam Sofer was the farthest thing from a Chassid. The Chassam Sofer writes, the answer is, Eliyahu HaNavi, when he's going to be mevaser us about the Geula, when he's going to come and say, Higiyaz Man Geulaschem, come back to Eretz Yisrael, he's going to have to show up as a person. He's going to have to make an announcement. He's going to have to travel from community to community and let us know that he's here. Well, if that's the case, Eliyahu HaNavi is going to have to come as a human being. Then he has to follow the rules of a human being. He has to follow the laws of Tchum Shabbos. He has to do everything correctly, and therefore he doesn't have the ability to show his face and to express the fact that the Geula is here on a Shabbos. However, by a Bris Mila, as we know, when we have a Bris Mila here in America, we have a Bris Mila in Eretz Yisrael, both on the same day, Eliyahu HaNavi somehow is expected to be at both. That means Eliyahu HaNavi on those occasions is coming as a Malach, as a Navi, as somebody who's not really an individual that we can tangibly see, that we can really understand, that we can perceive. And therefore, in those instances, when he's coming as a Malach, well, a Malach doesn't have to keep the laws of Shabbos. And therefore, we assume that Eliyahu HaNavi has no problem showing up to the Bris Mila, even if it's on Shabbos, even if it's Chutz L'Tchum, because after all, he is a Navi. Now, the problem is, somebody mentioned before, Teiku. Every so often, the Gemara has an issue where the Gemara tells us, you know, we're not sure about a very specific issue. We don't know what the psak is. Teiku. Now, some say what Teiku really stands for is Tishbi Yitaretz Kushiyos Va'abayis. Eliyahu Tishbi, when he comes and he shows us the Geula and he's going to be a part of our community, he will answer all of our questions, all of our problems, and we'll just wait for him to come to sort this out. For example, the Gemara says in Baba Metzia Daf Lamed Zayin, two people, Shnayim Shef Kidu Etzalecha, two people give $100 to a bank. Later on, the bank says, it's not clear exactly whose money is whose. You say you gave 100, I say I gave 150, and only 50 is yours, and 150 is mine. It's not really clear, there's major confusion, we don't really know how to go back on the cameras and figure it out. Says the Gemara, how are you going to prove it? This one says one way, this one says the other way, the bank teller has no idea. The answer is, says the Gemara, Teiku, Yehemunach HaTshiyav Eliyahu. When Eliyahu HaNavi is going to come, he's going to be the one to figure it out, he's going to sort out the issue, he's going to tell us who gave first and who gave second and who's entitled to what. Now, that's a problematic issue, because we know the Gemara has another principle, another concept in Bava Metzia Daf Nun Tes, which is Lo Bashamayim. We know that we don't paskin shaila based on a baskel, based on a malach, based on heavenly intervention. The Gemara says there that a baskel came out once and said, the psak is like this one, the psak is like that one, and we rejected it, and we did not accept the baskel's interpretation of the halacha, because Lo Bashamayim, we have the right, we have the privilege of studying the Torah and figuring out what the halacha is supposed to be. It doesn't matter to us what the baskel informs us of the psak and what that might sound like, even if it's against that which we think, we don't accept that at all. So how can we accept Eliyahu HaNavi's psak when he's going to come and tell us, Yehemunah HaTshiyav Eliyahu, this one says $150 is mine, this one says that $50 is yours, and they're not sure exactly who gave the money first. Says the Gemara, wait till Eliyahu HaNavi comes, he'll sort it all out. How can he sort it out? We don't trust Eliyahu HaNavi, not that we have a problem trusting him, but the Gemara says beferish that Lo Bashamayim, we don't accept a psak that's not grounded in halacha, that's not grounded in our system as we know it. We don't have interventions that get involved in our halachic process. So how come Eliyahu HaNavi is the exception to the rule? That's the kasha many achronim ask, and they're wondering, how could it be sometimes that the Gemara uses this terminology of Yehemunach ad sheyavu Eliyahu, if after all Eliyahu HaNavi is a malach? So the Mishnah Melech gives the following answer. He says the only time you'll notice that the Gemara gives this answer of Yehemunach HaTshiyav Eliyahu is when we have a suffix in Metzius. We're not sure. Two people are fighting whether or not you gave the money to the bank or I gave the money to the bank. We don't have any cameras to tell us what really happened. Nobody remembers the story. Everyone's claiming whatever they're claiming. Eliyahu HaNavi's not going to make a psak. We don't need a rub to make a psak there. What we need in that situation is the video camera. We need somebody who was there who can say, no, I was there, I remember. I saw you gave first and you gave second. This is how much you gave, this is how much you gave, and that's the answer. It's nothing to do with a complicated halachic solution. Therefore, says the Mishnah Melech, when you have situations like that, where all that you need to figure out is the Metzius HaDvarim, what actually took place, Eliyahu HaNavi, who is a malach, has the ability to see down and to inform us what was going on during that transaction. And therefore, only in those cases, says the Mishnah Melech, only in those cases does the Gemara say, Yehemunach HaTshiyav Eliyahu. However, he suggests, whenever you have a situation where it's a Sveika Dedina, where we are actually unsure about a psak, we don't know, is it mutter, is it aser, we don't know, is this something that we should be doing or shouldn't be doing, never would we accept the psak of Eliyahu HaNavi, because after all, we assume Lo Bashamayim. That's the suggestion of the Mishnah Melech, and the problem with that is, that many times in the Gemara we see otherwise. Many times the Gemara says, Teku, we say, by a Shailan Halacha that the Gemara has. We don't know, is it Mutter, is it Aser? We don't know, Apsak. In a case like that, we would say as well that we have the ability to wait until Eliyahu HaNavi comes. So the Mishnah Lamelech's answer is not 100%, and it really doesn't fit in. And that's why there are many who question his assumption. For one, the Maharam ben Chaviv took major issue with this Psak in the Mishnah Lamelech, and he said he doesn't think it's correct. You look through the Gemara, it doesn't seem to fit. So that's a little bit of an issue. But some suggest the answer is as follows. I once saw in the name of Rabbi Chanan Wasserman, I don't know if it's something that he wrote on his own, but I saw that Rav Shach said that he heard it in the name of Rabbi Chanan. So he said the answer goes as follows. You'll notice the Gemara sometimes says the following. Whenever we have one of those questions, the Gemara tells us, Yehe munach at sheyavo Eliyahu. Right? So that's Eliyahu Hanavi. He's going to come and tell us what was going on, what was the metzius hadvarim. Other times the Gemara says, Tishbi yitaritz kushios v'abayis teku. Says Rav Shach in the name of Rabbi Chanan. Isn't it strange? How come sometimes the Gemara calls him Tishbi, Eliyahu HaTishbi? What's that all about? Why don't you call him Eliyahu HaNavi? What are you saying? HaTishbi, he's from the city of Tishbi. What's that? Why don't you speak to him a little more respectfully? Says Rabbi Chanan, the answer is as follows. Like you say the Vilna Gaon, right? He was from Vilna. You say Rabbi Kiva Eger was from Posen. You refer to people, Rabbi Chaim Brisker, you refer to them where they were from. That's when you're describing an individual who lives on this earth. So too says Rabbi Chanan, the answer is, when does the Gemara say we have a right to ask Eliyahu HaNavi a question? When can we rely on what he says? Only when we refer to him as Eliyahu HaTishbi, the one who was a human being, the one who was here. We don't listen to a malach who says, oh, the psak was like this, psak was like that. You're right, lo b'shamayim, but Eliyahu HaNavi has two forms. On the one hand, Eliyahu HaNavi lo meis. Eliyahu HaNavi is still here, he's living somewhere. And on that, the Eliyahu from Tishbi, the human being, like Rabbi Chaim Brisker, like Rabbi Kiva Eger from Posen, like all those individuals, the Netziv from Berlin, and all those people that we would refer to them by their town, so too that's where the Gemara refers to Eliyahu HaNavi as Eliyahu from Tishbi. That's the only time we can ask him a question. However, whenever Eliyahu is going to come, just as Eliyahu HaNavi, that's something that we absolutely cannot rely on. That's the suggestion that Rabbi Chanan gives. You have to go back and look at all the Gemaras. I give everyone a challenge to look through all of Shas and figure out whether that works out or not. Mishnah Lamelech's answer might not work out. This might not either. You have to really figure out whether or not that's the case. And every time the Gemara really says Eliyahu HaTishbi, it's referring to a Shaila that's in Halacha. And every time it says Eliyahu HaNavi, it means a Shaila in Metzias. That's something to think about, to figure out. But either way, this is a very interesting issue. And as we started, we spoke today a little bit about Eliyahu HaNavi, but the Gemara tells us, I'm sorry, the Tanit of Eliyahu writes that the greatest way to have Eliyahu HaNavi come and be Mevasa the Geula is Mitoch Asara Sheyoshvim, between 10 people who are sitting down together and learning the Torah Hashem together. V'kolam Nishma, the Ribbono Shel Olam listens to our voices, and he very much is anticipating the words of Torah that all of us study together. That is the greatest way to be Mevasar ourselves for Geula Sheyibana.